Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage. We're going to look at a few passages and hopefully find out a common theme that will emerge. But the Apostle Paul, this is all the Apostle Paul, it's kind of his heart cry to some of these different churches. To the Galatians, he says, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." Amplified says, "My little children, for whom I am again suffering birth pangs, until Christ is completely and permanently formed and molded within you." Now, the broader context that he's saying this has to do with people who have come in behind Paul and are trying to influence them away from the heart of the gospel. You know, he said, you know, they want you to, these influencers, they want you to be zealous for them and for their ideas. And he's saying, you know, it's good to be zealous for a good thing, but, you know, you need to be zealous for God. You need to be zealous for the things of Christ. And that's where he's saying, man, I want Christ to be formed in you so you can see through the junk and just get a sense, a really strong base of who Jesus is and to in your faith. So you see he's got this heart cry for Jesus to be so real to them that they can't be fooled. Here he puts it this way to the Ephesians. He says, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Here we see that theme again, that there is this maturing that takes place. Of course, we're all born again. We're all children of God. We're all new creations in Christ Jesus. But there's a maturing, there's a growing, there's a developing that takes place in us. And you can see the Apostle Paul just had a heart for them to grow, to develop, so that the person, the heart of the Lord Jesus is formed in their heart, that they take on him, they become more like him. And then finally, as he's talking to the Corinthians, he puts it this way, "Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So here we see this thought again. We're all being changed into the same image. You know, we spend a lot of time at Door of Life, especially as it relates to finding God's will and finding God's plan for your life, to look into the Word of God and find our uniqueness in Him. You know, the Scripture says that each one of us are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that He ordained us to walk in, to take paths that He predestined us to walk in. Each individual is His own special handcrafted workmanship, complete with a plan that He gave each one of us. In fact, the Scripture says that when we did get born again, that He placed each one of us in the body of Christ, whether you're a hand or a foot or an eye or whatever that is, He placed you in the body according as it pleased Him. And He's actually individually working in you to will and to do of those good works He's ordained you to walk in, of those paths and those plans He's called you to take. So we think of that a lot of times. If my uniqueness in Christ, and that does bless us. We do find out that we have a purpose and a plan and we're here for a reason. And that's one side of it. But you know, there's another side to the coin that doesn't have to do with our uniqueness. It has to do with our commonality, our sameness in Christ. In Christ, we all have the same Heavenly Father. We all have the same Savior, the same Lord Jesus that we all worship. We all have the same Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. We all have the same Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Whatever we do, ultimately, it's to that end. We have the same future. We're all going to be together around the same throne. Every tribe, tongue, kindred, nation. Our destiny. We are all in Christ. There is something powerful of that thought in Scripture where we are being made like Jesus, all of us. Those two things can be true at the same time. We can have a unique identity in Christ in terms of what He's called us and made us and crafted us to do, but there's another side of that coin that is just as beautiful, that we are all, in one sense, being transformed into the same image. We have a same goal. We have a same focus in our life. And this morning, the title of the message is Imitation Christianity. Imitation Christianity. When we look at the Word of God and we look at the idea of being transformed into the same image, this image of Christ, maturing into this image of Christ, all of us maturing into this image of Christ, we see the powerful way that God does this. And as we look at the Scriptures this morning, we're going to see that God does this in a powerful way through imitation. Now, when we think of the word imitation, that's an interesting word. That's a word that can be taken in different contexts and different meanings. You know, in one sense, you can think of, you know, imitation in like a negative light. Well, it's imitation colors or imitation flavors or imitation, like a cheap knockoff, not the real thing. It's just an imitation, right? It's like something that is kind of looked in a negative light. On the other hand, you'll hear people say that imitation is the greatest form of flattery. Imitation can represent influence. It can represent a person's influence over your life and the way you think and what you do and what you say. And when we're looking at just who we are as Christians, just to look at the word Christian, right? See, the other thing we all are, we're all Christians. The word in a biblical sense is a person in whom Christ is being formed, who has turned to Him in faith, who now follows Him as Lord and Savior and pattern for life. The word is not merely a label. It describes a new identity, a new allegiance, a new way of living shaped by Jesus Himself. Man, there is nothing. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there is a beauty and there is a freedom and there is a liberty when we begin to focus Jesus. There is a simplicity that makes things easier. And God designed it this way. You know, I've just found, living in the day and age we live in, if I want to learn how to do something or I got to figure out how to turn something on or turn something off or, you know, fix something, you know, it used to be that I would kind of look up something to, you know, to find the steps on how to do it. But nowadays, you know what I do? I still do the same Google search for what I want to do, but I immediately click over to the videos and I watch it. And I say, just show me. Show me a video and I'll copy that. I'll imitate that. We're going to see in the Word of God this morning the power of imitation. One of the great ways transformation happens is through simple imitation. You see something and you're doing what you see. And this is powerful on a lot of different levels. And again, we'll get into it in just a second. But I want to look at this morning some of the different ways that God calls us in His Word to be imitators and to imitate. The first one, and the most obvious one we're going to start with, is imitating Jesus, okay? Clearly, we see this in the Word of God. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." And in Peter, 1 Peter puts it this way as an example. He says, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example that you must follow in his steps. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge. When he suffered, he left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. I love this. You know, we think of Jesus, and we think of, even when you read the scripture, be imitators of God. Yeah, okay. What next verse, please. There's something about that concept that it just seems like so overwhelming. How could I imitate God? You know, I know my own weaknesses. I know my own frailties. Imitate God? Yeah. There is a powerful truth and a freeing reality in the sense that I can just simply do what he did. In other words, and as we think of Jesus and what we were just, you know, honoring at communion this morning, it's remembering the fact that God became a man in all points like we are. The scripture says in Romans 8 that he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. What does that mean? Well, Hebrews 4 tells us what that means. It means that he was tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin, but he experienced our human condition. He experienced the suffering of temptation. He experienced all of that. So he came down, really, ultimately to die on the cross, to be our sacrifice, but he also came down to be a living example of a human being following after God. He came to give us the example that it can be done. In other words, as I'm beginning to think about even forgiveness and walking in love, there's something, it takes on a little different perspective when it's just like, you should forgive. Forgiveness is the right thing to do. Well, that's true. I should forgive. But I've got an example. It's not just that I should forgive. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like him. I want to be like my Lord. All of a sudden, it takes on a little different perspective. Jesus, Jesus, you forgive. You forgave. When you were on that cross, you said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You practiced what you preached. Jesus, I want to be like you. This is in an old Keith Green song that I just was kind of prompted, and it goes like this. It says, as each day passes by, I feel my love run dry. I get so weary, worn, and tossed around in the storm. Well, I'm blind to all his needs, and I'm tired of planting seeds, and I seem to have a wealth of so many thoughts about myself. I need to be more like Jesus. Our Father's will was done by giving us his Son, who paid the highest cost to point us to the cross. And when I think of him taking on the whole world's sin, and take one look at me compared to what I'm called to be, I need to be more like Jesus. The end of all my prayers is to care like my Lord cares. My one and only goal, his image in my soul. Yes, my weakness is revealed when by his stripes I'm healed. He's faithful and he's true to complete the work he begins in you. I need to be more like Jesus. Remember, there's no greater love to lay down your life for a friend. When our theology takes on the perspective of Jesus, I want to be like you. You're a forgiver. I want to be a forgiver like you, Lord. Lord, I want to be transformed into your image, for Christ to be formed in me. It takes on a whole different perspective. When Jesus was on the earth, we noticed there was a time when he had all of his disciples gather around, and he took some time to wash their feet. And he said, I'm doing this as an example. He said, the greatest among you is going to be the servant of all. And at some point, that just can't be cool, high-sounding platitudes. At some point, we take these things to heart, and we think, yeah, Lord, I just want to be like Jesus. You kind of hear the old expression sometimes, you can kill a few birds with one stone. You can do we're going to go to Walmart. We're going to go to Sturgeon Bay. We're going to get our grocery shopping done. We're going to, go to a restaurant, maybe take in a movie. We're going to do a whole bunch of things at once. Well, when your goal is to simply be like Jesus, you're doing a whole lot of things at once. All of a sudden, there's a whole lot of things in the Word of God that you're doing. When you say, okay, Jesus, I want to be like you. I want to make this about being like you. You're this way. You're forgiving. You're compassionate. That's the way you are. I want that to be formed in me. I want to be like you, Jesus. I want to change it from the paradigm of a religious rule that I have to keep to being like Jesus. I need to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like him. We see this in example where in his love, but here's another powerful example where when Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And here's kind of another companion scripture from 1 Peter with that. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Like we said, Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He experienced temptation, the suffering of temptation. But he who has suffered in the flesh, who hasn't given in to the flesh, who hasn't yielded, but who has allowed himself to do the will of God. That's what we see the example of Jesus. You know, we kind of heard it said, Jesus could have never died for us if he had never lived for us. There was a reason why his death on the cross was significant. He never sinned. It's not because he was never caught. It's because he never sinned. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He lived that life where he chose God. He chose the will of the Father. But you'll see what Jesus tells us up front. He says, if you lose your life for my sake, you're going to find it. And this is where I think there's such a powerful truth here, because it's so easy to get caught up in our own self, our self-life, our self-identity, our self. Even when it comes to living for God in different things like that, there's such a selfishness that can creep in. But Jesus says, follow me. The scripture says, looking unto Jesus, he's the finisher of our faith. There is an imitating Jesus. There is a heart that says, Lord, I want to be like you. In other words, and I'm just saying this, and I'm saying this for people, especially who desire to live for God and live for God and do things for God and serve God, and that's all good and that's all right and we need to do that, but there's also part of that high call is to just simply endeavor to be like him. Lord, I want to be like you. I want to follow after you. I didn't put the scripture up there, but this was an exchange that Peter and Jesus had when Jesus told Peter basically how he was going to die, how he was going to give his life for the Lord ultimately. Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? What's going to happen to him? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then the saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die, yet Jesus did not say that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Follow me. There's such a beautiful truth here as it relates to what we're calling imitation Christianity. I want to be like you, Jesus. That's my heart. That's my cry. I want to be like my master. In other words, there's such a beautiful picture here of us being conformed to the image of Christ, to being like him. Man, when we are like him, that's when we experience freedom. That's when we begin to find our life. What if, instead of obsessing over our uniqueness in the world that just strives to stand out from the crowd, my distinction, what makes me special? What if the answer is in the complete opposite direction? What makes me just like Jesus? The simple truths of love, the simple truths of giving, the simple truths of just wanting to be like him, not trying to be a unique version of me that's no like him. I get that in the Word of God. I know I'm a new creation. I know there's good works he ordained me to walk in. But there can be a spiritual competition that the disciples fell into. Who's the greatest? They were fighting amongst themselves. Jesus at one point had to put a little child in and said, you know what, guys? The greatest is going to be like this little child. There's just something. There's just the refreshing simplicity. And it's almost like sometimes it's so obvious. It's right there. You just can't see the forest through the trees. Be imitators of God. You're a forgiver, Lord. Jesus, you came to this earth and you practiced what you preached. In other words, there's some things I want to do that I can't do, and I want to do them. You experienced that too. You experienced the suffering in your flesh to do the will of the Father. Lord, I want to be like you. I want to be like you. Yeah, I know, walk in the Spirit, but I want to be like you, Jesus. My heart, my motive for doing the right thing is because I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like him. I don't want to be even flooded with spiritual ego. I just want to be like him. I just want to follow him, regardless of what he's doing with the other guy. I just want to follow him. What about that great mover? This, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to imitate you. I want you to be formed in me. That's the answer. Lord, help me to be like you. There's a certain sweet, simple heart cry that we see that when we look at the life of Jesus. Jesus just, that's exactly how he lived. He just said, I just say what I hear the Father say. I just do what I see the Father do. Jesus didn't do one single independent miracle on his own for his glory. He just did what he saw the Father do. He just said what he heard the Father say. In that simplicity of imitating the Father came this beautiful, glorious ministry. Man, does that ever take the pressure off? When my focus is to just be like Jesus, to just follow after him, to not have to figure everything out, but Lord, I just want to look unto Jesus. You're the author of this faith. You're the finisher of my faith. I'm just looking unto you. I want to be like you. Why do I forgive? Because you're a forgiver. I want to be like you. Why do I suffer in the flesh and lose my life to find it? Because you did that. You didn't satisfy your flesh one time. You were perfect to do the will of the Father because you wanted to do the will of the Father. He was motivated by the will of the Father. That's why he didn't suffer, why he didn't yield to sin. He loved the Father. I love that example. I just love that heart, this perspective in living for God. To not let our minds tilt, to go, yeah, I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to do what he wants to do. And you know what he said too? He said, greater works than these will you do because I go to my Father's in heaven. Miracles flowed from Jesus because he did what he saw. He had that simple life. There was no spiritual agenda to do something. He was simply imitating what the Father was showing him to do. There's something beautiful, again, for us in that. Here's another element of imitation. There's an imitating of people. Imitating people is a big part, too, of imitation Christianity. Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. I want you to pattern your lives after me as just as I pattern mine after Christ. To the Philippian church, the Apostle Paul says, these things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Man, it's a blessing to have people in your life that you can see walk out things, that you can see that are an example. Not necessarily even people you know, but people that you've read about, heard about. They can be powerful examples. They can be powerful ways that, you know, that person can be like that YouTube video. The Apostle Paul said, I'm your YouTube video. What you're seeing, learning, receiving, just do that. Do that, and the God of peace will be with you. We watched a movie over this weekend. It was I Can Only Imagine 2, And kind of one of the underlying plots in it was just this certain guy who was obsessed with this story about the author who penned It Is Well With My Soul, Horatio Spafford, back in 1873. And the backstory is how he was, his daughters and his wife and daughters were on a ship, and the ship, you know, tragically went down. His lost all four of his daughters. His wife was spared. You know, I think they found her like on some driftwood, and were just able to save her, you know, in piece of the ship. And as they were going to the rescue boat, this gentleman, Horatio Spafford, they were sailing over the spot where his daughters went down. And just what sprung from his spirit at that moment in time, he said, it is well with my soul. It wasn't a fist in God's face. It wasn't a bitter hatred. There was just something, a peace that passed his understanding that kept his heart and mind in Christ Jesus, a wellness with his soul, a wellness. It's just amazing to see that in a person, how you can see, man, there's a person who is modeling, who's showing something, a trust in God. To look at that, there can be examples that we see that inspire us like that. I've had people in my life, you know, I think of a guy who, just people that believe in you, people that believe in the gifting and the calling that's on your life, who's so into your life. It's like, man, that kind of person, I remember. Certain people that stick out, maybe certain people that treated you a certain way, kindness. It's like, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. Just a sweet, gentle spirit or a characteristic. They'll just model the love of Jesus. The scripture said, this is again the Apostle Paul, he said, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you don't have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I've begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I've sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. And then the Hebrew writer puts it this way. He says, don't become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So what we see, and when you look at that, Hebrews, it goes on in Hebrews chapter 11 to give us a whole, what the scripture will call the hall of fame of faith examples, of people that we can follow, whose example that we can follow, who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. This is where it's just, it's powerful to look at people, to look at their lives, and just the power of an example in a life. I think of, you know, we can think of some Bible stories of Elijah and Elisha, you know, where Elijah throws his mantle over Elisha, and immediately Elisha just drops everything, follows after Elijah, and follows his life, and, you know, Elijah is getting toward the end, you know, and he tells Elisha to stay back three times. But Elisha just said, there is no way. I'm not staying back. As the Lord lives, I will not leave you. I am with you. I'm following you, Elijah. You know, there was something that he saw. And he had asked him, you know, said, what do you want? And he said, let me have a double portion of the Spirit that's on you. And of course, as the story goes, the chariot, it's a fire that came for Elijah, his mantle fell, and then Elisha took his mantle, and immediately the spirit of Elijah was on Elisha in a powerful way. And he did twice as many miracles as Elijah did when you look in the Word of God. But he followed him. He followed him. He recognized something about him. I think another powerful story that we see too is the story of Ruth and Naomi. Naomi and her husband lived in Bethlehem, and there was a famine that hit Bethlehem. And so they thought, man, we got to get out of here. We got to just go where there's some food, where there's something. So they decided to go to a place called Moab. And that's not a place that was friendly to Jewish people, but that's where they felt they needed to go. And in the course of time, they had two sons, and their two sons each married a Moabite woman. And over the course of about 10 years or so, eventually, Naomi's husband died, and her two sons had died too, were killed. And so she was just left with her two daughters-in-law. And so as she decides in her heart, I'm going back to Bethlehem. I'm going back to Israel. So she's deciding to go back. Her daughters-in-law are going with her. And she said, look, you know, I don't have any more sons. I can't provide for you. There's nothing I can do. You know, go back. You can go back to Moab. You know, so one of the daughters went back to Moab. But Ruth didn't go back to Moab. Now think of Ruth. She's raised in Moab, but she's married into this Jewish family. She's seeing these two cultures side by side. And what does she do? She says something to Naomi. She said, no, I'm not going back to Moab. She said, your God is my God. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And at some point, wherever you die, that's where I'm going to die too. That's the power of an example of a life that she followed. She saw something. She saw something powerful in Naomi, and she followed her. And she did follow her. She followed her back to Israel, and she fell in love with a guy named Boaz. And they had a little boy named Jesse, who in turn had a bunch of little boys, one of whom became the king of Israel, King David. But to think that there was a Moabite woman in the bloodline of our Lord Jesus Christ, because she saw something. She saw something in Naomi, and she followed it. She followed what she saw. And that's the way it is, too, when it comes to people. We don't, like what Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. When you see something in somebody, it's not them. It's not hero worship. It's not imitating their quirks. It's not about them. Something in your spirit bears witness with your spirit that that is God and that is right, and I'm going to imitate that. It could be a certain way they treat people. It could be a certain kindness. It could be something about them. They could be just a good listener. They could be, you just see something about them and said, that's good, that's right. You can imitate that. You can say, I like that. I want to be like that. And you can just simply imitate those qualities, those characteristics of people. Imitation Christianity. It comes through observing the way our Lord lived, to be like Jesus, to live like him, but also then seeing his life come through people. Letting people be your example. I remember when I was a young believer, you know, back in the 80s, and just kind of having that experience, because I have a heart for Paul. He's seeing these young believers, and man, there's just the spirituality and spirituality contest and just wanting to one up the other guy. There's just human nature, you know, kind of gets in there. Even in the disciples, we saw that. Who's going to be the greatest and all that? So we know that that's just, it's a thing, and especially vulnerable for younger believers. And he's like, I just want Christ to be formed in you. And I just remember one of the things that helped stabilize me was, well, at that time, was my girlfriend's dad, Julie's dad, Fred. And he just had, you know, because you're hearing all this cool stuff and theology and high stuff, but he just had this grounding in his salvation. He just knew that it was not by works of righteousness, but by the grace of God. There was somebody who's strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's not just theology. There's a presence of the Spirit. There's a presence that you say, that's good, that's right. And you've got these compelling arguments sometimes to go to that church and do that thing and do that, but there's something solid here. There's something good. I want to imitate that. I want to imitate that simple grace. I want to imitate that simple foundation of the love of God. There's something good there. The Spirit says, that's good, that's right. Follow after that. Follow after that. Imitate that. You'll see that in people, and God will express himself through people in different attributes and things. That's a big part of imitation Christianity. We're imitating faith heroes who've gone before, people in our lives today. We see things. It's like, yeah, that's good, Lord. I want to be like that. Because you realize, as you just continue to grow in the Lord till Christ is formed in you, there's no spirituality contest here. There's no fruit-bearing contest and who bears more fruit. It's one objective, to be like Jesus. To be like him, that's my objective. Jesus just wanted to follow the Father. I just want to say what you say. I just want to do what you do. And then everything else just kind of flows out of that. I don't have to micromanage all this stuff. I have to micromanage even all the pride and humility and keeping track and being judging and critical of people, there's something about keeping your eyes on Jesus and off of people's imperfections and your own imperfections. There's something about keeping your eyes on Jesus that keeps you from being critical too. It just keeps you, no, it's on Jesus. It's on Jesus. Lord, I know me. I mean, look at the disciples. Come on. This is his inner circle. I mean, his inner circle, James, John. They wanted to call down fire on people and burn them up. Jesus said, man, you don't know what spirit you're of. Man, we all need that focus, that heart cry. Lord, I want to keep it simple. I just want to be like you again. And just a couple quick things, the word and the spirit. James said, don't just listen to God's word. You know what? You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word, don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. You're my imitators indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's something about taking that word, and there's something about just humbly saying, this is God. I want to imitate what it says. I want to do what it says, but from a different place. I want to be like Jesus. I want to take his word. I want to abide in it. That truth will make me free. How does it make you free? I say then, walk in the spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. They're contrary. There's battle going on. So you can't do the things that you wish. That was the battle, the fight of the flesh. We all deal with it. We have that. But when we do walk in the spirit, but the fruit of the spirit is, when we don't yield to the flesh, when we walk in the fruit of the spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Again, this is stuff that's all of us. This is not unique to my call. This is just fruit of the spirit. This is what we all look like more and more and more as we behold him, as we walk in the spirit. That spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. There is freedom. What is that liberty? It's love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness. Man, the ultimate glory, when we begin to walk in the Spirit, we begin to walk after God, we begin to imitate the promises, those people who through faith and patience inherited the promises, and I begin to look at that word, it's a mirror, it's my reflection. This is who I am in Christ. I see who I am in Christ. I see the promises of God. I see the new creation. I see God who through whom I can do all things. I'm seeing a reflection of his love for me, that nothing can separate me from his love. I'm seeing this beautiful picture, and I'm beginning to act on this picture, and I'm beginning to believe this is who I am in his word, and I begin to act what his word. And there's nothing more powerful than when you've held on to a promise and you just simply do that promise. You do that word. You're imitating what the word of God actually says. And that's when Jesus said, when you do that, when you continue in that, you know the truth in a way that'll make you free. It'll begin to cause you to bear the fruit of the Spirit. You begin to see things, and it's like you look at yourself and go, man, I've got more peace than I had before. I've got more joy than I had before. And all you're doing is simply imitating God, imitating his word, just walking after him, and he's doing a thing. It's not a competition of who can bear more fruit. It's just a transformation, where I'm becoming more like him. And when these things happen, I'm more sensitive to his spirit. I can see what he wants me to do. When I've got more joy and love and peace and that fruit, that means I've got less hatred, less bitterness, less distraction, less self-junk going on. God's doing that work on the inside of me. So this morning, I just wanted to do just a quick little paradigm shift as we're living for God. Yes, we forgive and we, you know, live after, you know, walk after the Spirit, and, you know, but doing it from a place of a heart that just wants to be like Jesus, that imitation, to be more like Jesus. Jody actually brought that out in worship, to be more like Jesus. That is really the heart of the message this morning. I'm doing what I'm doing, Lord, because I want to be like you. I love you. I love you. I want to be like you. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He said, and he who keeps my commandments, my Father will come to him, and I will manifest myself to him. The Amplified said, I'll make myself real to him. When you imitate him, when you do things, there is an intimate experience you have in Jesus simply because you love him and you want to be like him. There's an intimacy you experience in that, where Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. That word know is for intimacy, know. In other words, you know the truth in an intimate way. And there is a manifestation of his presence and a sweetness that comes from, I'm living for God, but it's not box checking. It's not competing with the other disciples and fruit and greatness. It's just, I want to be like him. It keeps my motives clean. It keeps my motives right. My reason for doing what I want to do is to be like him. Even when people would try to get Jesus off and say, do a miracle, Jesus. Prove yourself. Jesus didn't say, yeah, get the sickest person. I'm going to show you what I can do. He never did that. Because he wasn't doing what they were saying. He wasn't on their agenda. He was just saying what he heard the Father say. He was just doing what he saw the Father do. And there's something about that. When that's your heart, it keeps your motives clean. It keeps your motives pure. And then whatever you see, there will be an anointing on that. But it starts with Jesus. It doesn't start with the good works he ordained me to walk in. It starts with him. It says, I'm looking unto him. I see those good works he's ordained me to walk in. Because then I say, okay, now do this. Now, oh yeah, that was one of the good works. But it starts from him. Imitating. A simplicity. We live in a world that wants that unique identify. We're Christians. We all have the same call. To be like him. For him to be formed in our hearts. We're going to be around that throne of grace. We were made in the likeness and the image of God. And Christ is being formed in us. Man, this thing is going to end amazing. But right in here and now, I want to be on target. I want to keep my heart in the right place. Imitation Christianity. We're called to be like him. We're called to imitate him, to love him, so that he is the one who's formed on the inside of us. And then what comes out of that? That's his will. That's his purpose. Father, we thank you this morning for the simple call. Jesus said, you said that your yoke is easy, your burden is light, that there's a simplicity in Christ. There's a simplicity of the gospel, that you just so loved us that you gave yourself for us, that all we got to do is believe and receive that gift. But Lord, we thank you too that there's a simplicity in living for you. There's a simplicity in living for you, Lord. Yeah, there's a lot of theology. There's a lot of different things to learn and grow. But boy, it just comes back to you, Jesus. Seeing you, seeing your kind face, seeing your loving face as our Lord. Father, I pray that for us this morning, that our focus is you, Jesus. We look unto you. We look at what you're doing, not what people are saying, not what the world is saying and gossiping and backbiting and comparing one another, but looking unto you, Jesus. You're the author. You're the finisher. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. Lord Jesus, I want to be like you. I want to imitate you. I can do all things because you live in me. I can do all things through your strength. That means I can be like you. I can look unto you. I can say what I hear you say. Do what I see you do. You keep my motives pure. My agenda is to simply be like you, to let your life be formed in me, the fruit of your spirit be formed in my character. I see the example of your life. I see the example of precious people you've put in my path to show me what you look like. Help me to pay attention, not just to admire, but to imitate, to be like that. Those things that I know are you. That's my desire, Jesus. I want to be like you. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. I'll tell you, I can just picture Jesus bringing that child in front of his disciples. Little child, got to be like him. Be the greatest in the kingdom. There's such a simplicity that keeps our hearts sweet and right. And then when you get knowledge and all that, that's great, but it's from a place of a sweet, simple heart. How is this going to make me more like Jesus? Cool revelation. How does this make me more like Jesus? To serve him. Praise God.